Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. I promise this will be brief and painless, as this book is a farce. So it's not like my tragic first novel when I wanted everybody to cry and feel boo-hoo-hoo. And so I'll tell you briefly how this book came about, and then I'll give you a taste of a couple of chapters, and then we can all be on our way. So what the name of the book is Valentina Goldman's Immaculate Confusion, and everybody's always like, what is she confused about? And I'm like, have you ever been to another country and you have no idea that they do not give you the little rule book? And to give you a taste of what this is about the foibles of living in another country, whether your former country leaves you or whether you leave it or whatever, I'm going to give you a taste of the first chapter is Valentina in the U.S. for like her first week in America. And the other one that I'll read is a little bit of a taste of Venezuela. So she's seeing both cultures from her very jaded eyes, because now that she's straddling both cultures, she is a little bit confused. The first chapter is called Shopping as Eco-Tourism. The secret to happiness is to keep moving. So convinced am I of this, that whenever I get to a place, whether it's a bookstore or a restaurant, the first thing I do is I try to locate the nearest exit sign. I've always been wary of emotional landslides. It isn't your standard phobia, I realize, to be mortally afraid of bumping into someone you intensely dislike in the romance corner of your local bookstore. And you just never know when a child with the face of an angel will throw a tantrum at a sushi restaurant because they have run out of Toro. So I found that the best way to survive these debacles is to know in advance where the exits are. Cut your losses is one of my favorite refrains. I can't remember how many times I've moved since moving to this country, but I do remember moving after each divorce. I mean, does any sane woman you know set out to move to another country, marry a series of losers, get a stepdaughter and a set of twins in the process, and then go on to spend the rest of her days feeling like part reptile, part fish? These things just happen, and who has a crystal ball to see them coming? Sometimes when I wake up, even after all these years, I don't remember where I am until after I have my coffee. And then there are the ways when I can hardly believe that my own life has turned out the way it has. But really, the day I started having nightmares in earnest was the day after I set foot in this country. Don't get me wrong, it's not the country's fault. Some repotted plants experience similar dislocation. Better soil, bigger pot, plenty of sunshine, but despite all that, they still suffer from the transfer. How to forget, for instance, my first experience eating inside a moving vehicle, or what it was like to first set foot in a place called Banana Republic. Everything was on sale. If you ask me, shopping as ecotourism has not gotten its fair shake. It's only through this sort of exchange that one can have one's views of the world expanded. I mean, how else is a non-cognoscenti supposed to find out that government-sponsored death squads in Central America have their own flagship store a mere hemisphere away? So that's her views on the U.S., and now her views of her own country, because she is actually evaluating both. Where do I belong? This is really, in the end, a book about identity. So you move to a place and you think you're going to fit in there, and then you go to the other place where you were born and things seem a little weird there too. And so this is one of the last chapters of the book, and it's called Hot Couture, but not as in hot couture like high fashion in French, but hot couture as in tropical couture, because it's hot in Venezuela. Okay, Valentina is telling you the story from her point of view and also her sister, who still lives in Venezuela and continues to complain, why didn't I move to the U.S. to have the perfect life that you have? So this is her sister, Azucena, about to go to a fashion show in Caracas. Last week, Azucena finally left her office at a reasonable time because she was going to a fashion show. With the traffic, the street barricades, the anti-government demonstrations, and the planning one has to do around the kidnappers in Caracas, she had to leave around mid-afternoon for a show that was scheduled to start at 6 in the evening. By now you know how hectic Azucena's life is. It isn't very often that the editor of Caracas Spectator can actually experience what she peddles on the pages of the best-selling magazine in the country. And here's where I think that Anna Wintour should perk up her ears a little. Because after listening to Azucena's relato about the fashion show, I think the bulletproof designer collection might be a unique feature in the September issue of the North American edition of Vogue. As I've told you, Azucena is calm personified. Had she not been born under the riotous Caracas skies, I think my sister might have been very much at home in the peace of Kathmandu, that is, after the own riots subsided. Unlike me, who finds everything shocking, devastating, disturbing, downright horrifying, my sister is able to look at everything that should not be in this world and say, tell me something I don't know, and takes a sip of Dom Perignon. As it turned out, despite her being the editor of the most prestigious lifestyle magazine in the country, Azucena did not know that the models at the fashion show were going to be shot. The models themselves didn't even know it. Apparently, the owner and president of the company that makes bulletproof designer clothing in Brazil, a man by the name of Orlando Seneca, had the brilliant idea of keeping certain parts of the show a surprise. I told Azucena, this kind of fashion show could never work in America. And the mere mingling of the words gun, fashion, and show, there'd be a line of lawyers out the door singing that catchy song, Glass After Lawsuit. But after what happened at the show, Orlando Seneca is not a name I will soon forget. I might even buy a Seneca suit to wear during future visits to Venezuela now that I think about it. It was understandable, I suppose. He was giddy with the knowledge that he had come up with the inspired notion of bulletproof designer clothing in a country where everyone, although they are fairly well assured that they will meet their murderers at the grocery store, still wish to die fashionably nonetheless. So to demonstrate the quality of his designs, he brought in a couple of hired guns to shoot the final set of models on the runway. But lest you misunderstand me, I didn't mean shoot, as in photo shoot. Some of the models, as Azucena tells me, were wearing gowns so gorgeous that it was hard to believe they were actually bulletproof. Only my sister would notice such details. She has a discerning eye. She also has her composure in her favor. Up until the moment of the shooting, as a matter of fact, there was still this lilac gown that had caught Azucena's eye. She had even considered buying it for the company's Christmas party. That's what she calls the place where she herself calls the shot. Spectators. You see, my little sister is put off by the word Caracas, so she chopped it off from her employer's masthead. I'm telling you, we are so different. I've never understood any woman who thinks she can make a statement by wearing something in lilac, least of all to a Christmas party. Unfortunately, the model wearing the lilac dress was shot first. That spoiled everything for us, Azucena. Most people, though, they remain seated in a state of, let's wait and see. And that is perhaps the most telling detail of this story, that a real shooting at a fashion show at the Ritz-Carlton downtown Caracas would garner such a mild response. At any rate, so fine was the craftsmanship of the dress that the only casualty really was the organza. The stuff underneath the gauzy organza, whatever that material is called, well, that did its job. As for the model, once she got over the initial shock of being shot in the line of duty, she continued to the end of the runway, composed as models are. It was at that point that Seneca himself jumped onto the runway like Rodolfo Valentino and asked one of the gunmen he had hired to shoot him in front of the audience. It seemed he knew a thing or two about the brevity of life in Caracas. After being shot, he smothered out his tuxedo and walked to the microphone. And with one of those winning smiles that Latin men learned from the crib, he said, Damas y caballeros, for quality control reasons, I had to agree to being shot. Azucena thinks the collection will be a hit. But the reason I think Anna Wintour should stay tuned is because this could be the first time in the history of Venezuela that a fashion trend travels up north instead of the other way around. Those are the two sample chapters. It gives you a flavor for the book. I can't thank you enough for being here. I know you had more fun things to do. It's very wonderful of you to come here. I appreciate it. Thank you, Danielle. Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks as we podcast Authors on Tour.